very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. This is 49ers Plus Minus with our second emergency episode of this week. That's telling you what's going on here the first week 49ers camp. I'm here with my co-host. It's Matt Barrows of The Athletic with some bulky Wi-Fi here going up and down. So let's try to knock this out quick. 49ers agree to terms to bring back old familiar face Deebo Samuel with Ricky Pearsall. Certainly a question mark after they announced yesterday that he is having further issues with his knee back from his MCL issue last season.
PCL.
PCL. Yeah. Okay. Which kept into eight games and zero catches in the playoffs. I think there is certainly some, I don't know if frustration is the right word, but there's certainly some issues there. It was heavily guessed that yesterday that Deebo Samuel, who was unsigned after spending a year with the Commanders, certainly could be coming back. And guess what? He's back. It's Deebo Samuel. So, Matt Barrows, with your Trent bulky Wi-Fi, what's your first reaction to Deebo Samuel returning to the 49ers?
Well, I've got a couple. One, it doesn't comment well on Ricky Pearsall and what they're expecting from him. I don't think that the 49ers make that move if they thought that Pearsall was going to be out just a short period. It feels like it's going to be a long time before Ricky Pearsall is back on the field. And I don't know whether that means surgery or what, but obviously when you have an injury that was bothering you last year and it is bothering you 8 months later, practically, that's problematic. So, Ricky Pearsall and Deebo Samuel play the same position. That's the Z or the flanker position, the position where you get a little bit of movement off the line of scrimmage. You get a little bit of cushion between you and the cornerback. And so it's an easy fit. And so the question with Deebo Samuel always is he motivated? Is he in shape? And he's been posting a lot of videos. And I tell you, unless this is AI, I will say that as a Deebo Samuel physique observer since 2019,
say, watch your vocabulary there.
My verbiage. I've seen him go like this mostly, but this is the most slim I've seen him in a while. So a motivated and a slim Deebo Samuel, and I've said this for years, is a good Deebo Samuel. That's the Deebo Samuel you get in 21. That's the Deebo Samuel you get in 2023. And it appears like that's where he is. However, he also turned 30 in January, which means that this is yet another 30-something on that offense. And there are, let's just name them off, Mike Evans, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, Trent Williams, Jake Brendel. These are all guys who are 30 and older. So it's becoming an older team, not quite over the hill gang, going back to 1972, but it's getting there.
Yeah, I just couldn't help but note that they drafted Ricky Pearsall in 2024 in part to replace Deebo Samuel, at least with that idea. There's going to be a time when Deebo Samuel isn't starting and isn't going to be a dominant receiver. They use that pick to draft Ricky Pearsall, and it's just no shock that if Ricky Pearsall becomes a major question mark, perhaps, you know, out for a long time, they bring back Deebo Samuel after trading Deebo Samuel to open space for Ricky Pearsall. It's not a great thing for their long-term prospects. Ricky Pearsall is somebody that they really wanted to count on. Now, they did bring in Mike Evans. We'll see if Christian Kirk can start practicing. Deshaun Stripling, obviously, they're pick at the top of the second round. They don't lack options, but guys start getting hurt, which has already happened. Guys start disappointing. You know, what if Stripling hits a wall? You're going to need other people. Deebo Samuel can do that. I don't think he's going to be a wide back anymore. Barrows, by the way, only ran it 17 times for Washington, and his numbers have been going down as a running back with the 49ers too. It's just so much, you know, you take so much pounding as a running back because you get hit every single time you run it. Multiple times, I just don't think that that's where he is right now, which is fine. And, you know, maybe is, you know, if it is an exotic or whatever, you can have him run a ball once or twice a game, maybe. But he's just going to be, you know, a known quality, right? One of Shanahan's favorite players, a favorite player in the locker room. He's not going to be running the big, you know, over the top routes, which he never did. He's going to be running those 4-yard routes. And, you know, I think part of it, you tell me if it's like McCaffrey was running all of them last season. That's why they needed him on the field. That's why they targeted him over 100 times last season. I think that's correct. Like, there's going to be someone else now who can do it. And I think, and from a wide receiver or a third receiver situation, it makes all this, you know, for $7 million. Again, he's not the receiver who has gotten insubordinate and is ripping him, right? That was never Debo. He might have said a few things, but it was never attacking Kyle Shanahan, right? Never, never, never. This is a guy that has retained his popularity in the locker room. I said similar to Dre Greenlaw, right? I mean, Dre Greenlaw's, they brought him back last spring because they love that sense of this is one of ours. We're bringing back one of ours. And I think Debo is definitely that.
Yeah, they were part of the same draft class. Debo Samuel in the second round in 2019, Dre Greenlaw in the fifth round in 2019. The issue becomes you fall in love with players that you drafted in 2019 and you never can move off them. And they moved off both of those guys at one point. And they made a conscious decision to sort of redo that wide receiving core. And you know, here we are heading into August, and what did they do? They brought in, they had to bring in Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, and use their highest pick on a wide receiver. My point is that they really haven't made any progress since 2020 at that position internally, like with their own picks and things like that. That was the year that they drafted Brandon Ayuk. So this grand plan to sort of have a sea change at wide receiver, it's not going as well as they hoped it would. And they haven't been able to kind of rediscover that magic that they had with those first few drafts. Now, maybe Dejon Stribling changes that. The early returns are good, are positive. Big guy, physical guy, can get open and can do things with the ball in his hands afterwards. So right now that looks like the lineup. I don't know how quickly Debo Samuel is going to get up to speed in practice, but if you were to pick today their top three wide receivers, it would be Mike Evans at the X, it would be Debo Samuel at the Z, and it would be Stribling playing that Juwan Jennings role at the at what they call the F or slot position. So it'll be interesting to see how they use Stribling from here on out. He's been a quick learner. I think that the long-term plan was for him to be F this year and eventually move into that X role in the future. But it could be that Z spot is the one that's really open. I mean, Samuel has had trouble staying on the field. That's part of the reason they moved off of him. They traded him to Washington for what? What was it? A fifth round pick? And
I think it was a fifth. Yeah.
Yeah, and in the beginning of 2025, or at the end of 2024, really. So, yeah, it's interesting that they kind of need that 2019 lifeline. I mean, this team has sort of been returned to 2019 for a while. That was sort of the apex of Robert Saleh. The defenses, time, and they brought Robert Saleh back last year. They cannot let 2019 go. It's like you had like a really great hairdo in a certain year, and you just stick with that from that point on.
I can see it totally. And you know, I think that's when they feel that they were at they had their best feeling as a group, and they had their most talent, and they should have won a Super Bowl and all those other things that we can go through that. But there's a couple guys from the 24 and 25 drafts that who are wide receivers who still can move into some spots. Jake McCowan from the 2024 draft, right? I believe that late round 2024. Yes. And Jordan Watkins late round last season. I see Watkins, you know, I've only been to one practice, so it's just that one time, but like he makes plays. He's, you know, he always has the size. You think he can move into something. We saw Cowing do stuff as a rookie, didn't do anything last season, but he might be their punt returner, so he might just have a roster spot. Like they do have that. Now, those guys could hit a wall. Those guys could do nothing. Those guys could get hurt. But when you do talk about getting stuck on 19, then, I mean, the reason why they're going back to 19 is because the 24, 25 drafts aren't doing it for them specifically at that position. We'll see what the 2026 draft does for them. But like, man, they need Mike Evans so bad, right? I mean, if they suffer, if Mike Evans gets hurt in camp, they're in trouble. Like they're in trouble, maybe almost more than anyone else on this team other than Brock Purdy at this point, because they just have no other option to be their lead receiver. They just don't. I mean, you could have said, okay, maybe Ricky Pearsall, because we saw those big games he had last season in between injuries. You can't say that now. Debo's just not that player anymore. He really hasn't been that player for quite some time. Juwan Jennings was someone who gave them 1,000 yards once, right? I mean, you could just, that's all gone, understandably all gone. Who's to say that Jennings would ever do that again? But man, without Mike Evans, really might be one of their, I mean, Trent Williams, Fred Warner, Brock Purdy, and then maybe Mike Evans. Put Kittle in there too.
Christian McCaffrey, yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, I mean, we could go through the players, but man, Mike Evans goes right to the top of that list. Near
well, anybody you just talked about is 30 or older. That's, well, that's
everybody
sort of
on the team
right now.
Everybody on the team is 30 or
everyone
older.
On the team. I used to make a joke. This is a joke that I made back in like 2004 that, you know, they should put Bryant Young in carbonite, just freeze him throughout the preseason so that he doesn't get hurt. And then right before week one, you hit that thaw button, and he's thawed out. You give some time to, you know, get the ice blindness.
Harrison Ford took some time. You know,
exactly. It took a little bit of time. you got to pre-plan, but you're right. I think Mike Evans falls into that carbonite role right now because he's way too valuable. He's such a linchpin at this point. No one else besides him is probably capable of going over 1,000 yards this season. Mm-hmm. I just can't see it from anybody else unless dribbling
Kittle.
Well, no other, I should say, no other wide receiver. And McCaffrey came really close to that last year. You mentioned Watkins. You know, to his credit, he missed a lot of last year, but it was a high ankle sprain where somebody just crashed into his leg at the end of a play. It wasn't one of these soft tissue issues. This was a wrong place at the wrong time. It was very similar to Fred Warner's injury, where a teammate just ends up tumbling into the ankle and you're out for several weeks. So he was off to a good start last year, sort of similar to Stribling this year, a bigger guy who can move. And until they signed Debo Samuel just an hour or so ago, I thought that Watkins might be the best sort of Z candidate right now if you're going to be playing Stribling in that F spot.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Stribling's going to be really interesting because he is really fluid. That's like he's big and he's fluid. You don't get this, like he's working to get up to speed. It's a pretty easy speed and he's in and out of cuts. Rookie receiver in the NFL, rookie receiver under Kyle Shanahan, you never know. But in my opinion, I never was a Dante Pettis guy, but he looks better than Dante Pettis ever did, another second round pick at wide receiver. Looks better than Danny Gray ever looked. I mean, this is a low bar. This is not a standard.
Better than Danny Gray, Jim? What?
You're measuring Hall of Famers.
Now you're talking crazy.
But those are the guys who didn't work out, right? Jalen Hurd, whatever these other guys who haven't worked out, relatively high picks in the receiver mode or whatever. I don't even know what position Jalen Hurd ever was. It changed, it seemed like, all the time. DeSean Stribling, just from what I've seen, he just looks like he belongs in NFL games. You can see him getting as a rookie getting, you know, 50 balls this year, maybe four touchdowns and breaking one or two. Haven't really felt that about any of them. Again, Dante Pettis was the last one. Well, Pearsall would be another one. And you probably know. Well, I've never been the biggest Ricky Pearsall guy. I think he's solid, but I've never really seen how that computes over a full season because he hasn't made it through a full season. Still has a chance to. But, man, this is going to affect his career because if he misses most of the season, they got the option decision on his fifth year, right? And that's unlike – I mean, it would have been hard for them, I think, to do it unless he had a really big season. If he has no season, they're not doing it. So he goes into the final year contract, fourth year, without ever having proven himself in the NFL. Those are the guys who end up leaving, right? I mean, if you're not picking up the fifth-year option of a first-round pick, the odds are you're not coming back after your fourth year. This is a lot for a guy they've really liked, but what have they gotten from him? You know, it's unfortunate for him, but you go into your third year and they're signing a 31-year-old or 30-year-old receiver in order to replace you because they're not sure that you're healthy. That's not good. And that's just a long-term reality that he has not been able to get out on the field now going into his third season. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. We sit next to each other at games. I think you might have commented, like, every time I see Ricky Pearsall hit, I go, he's out. He's hurt. And I have been right, largely. It just doesn't look like his body is able to take this. And that's nothing against him. It just doesn't look like it's happening. And this decision is a clear sign the 49ers don't think it's happening this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little like Dante Pettis. Dante Pettis was not physical enough, certainly for Kyle Shanahan. And went early in his career, he's done better since then. I think that Pearsall had the right attitude. He wanted to do it. He was willing to go across the middle, put his body in those situations. That PCL he got, and I think it was in the Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
And he had a string of really good games, and he was on his way to another one against the Jaguars. He fell wrong on that knee, and it hasn't been right since. Every time he fell on that knee since, it's been problematic. And to be honest, I watched him the first two practices he took part in, Sundays and Mondays, and he had a couple of catches, but did not look like a dominant receiver, did not look like a 1,000-yard receiver. I think it's obvious now in hindsight that he was bothered by that knee.
Yeah, I didn't really want to criticize him, but in the first practice, if you had to say who's better, Deshaun Stribling or Ricky Pearsall, you'd go, I mean, Stribling for sure. It wasn't close. Pearsall was not dynamic. The quarterbacks weren't looking for him. In a lot of teamwork, it just seemed like he was open at the time. He did fault. Remember that? We're like, Mac Jones threw it to nobody because Pearsall had fallen down. Now, clearly, if your leg's not stable, your knee's not stable, maybe that's why you fall down. But falling down is bad in the NFL. Falling down is bad for receivers. Quarterbacks, you ever hear Troy Aikman talk about receivers who fall down? He hated them. You got to stand up and fight for the ball. So if your knee is not sound and you fall down in practice, the quarterbacks aren't going to throw it to you in games. So this is an issue. This is something real. This is something they're going to have to deal with. If Stribling is really good, that helps certainly, get the 49ers out of this. But it's a first-round pick that they really wanted to see play, who they really like as a person. He's a good guy, but he can't stay on the field in the NFL. It's a hard thing to do. There were other injuries from yesterday that we haven't talked about. Anything that we need to address right now? Anything that looks pretty serious?
Jordan James has a broken rib, which may or may not have come as a result of Fred Warner trying to punch the ball out from his running back. So, Fred Warner has been known to be a little too rough on his offensive teammates in practice. It happened, Brandon Ayuk, of all people, kind of suffered his wrath one year. So that may have happened this year. Bottom line, though, is that he's out of this competition. You and I both liked him. Kalen Black has looked really good. That's been one of the better positions. I think that Christian McCaffrey is kind of listening to all the naysayers say 413 touches last year, just turned 30, just got married, had a baby. That guy's done. I think he's been listening to that.
Kind of listening.
Very, very good. Very sharp, more explosive. I think that that's their challenge this year, is maintaining that explosion and making sure they still got pop. So that's where the Kalen Blacks and the Jordan Jameses come in. I have no idea how long Jordan James is going to be out. Rib injuries are interesting. It depends where in the rib cage it happened. Is it a crack? Is it a fracture? Is it a hairline, et cetera, et cetera? Is it the cartilage? Is it the rib itself? So I don't know how long he's going to be out, but they were working out running backs. Khalil Herbert, ex-Bear, he was one of the three who worked out today. So it looks like they're gonna bring in another guy. And no, I don't think it's gonna be Deebo Samuel before you ask that question.
No, I already said he's not gonna be the wide back. No, they can't get like Raheem Mostert or somebody from 2019. Matt Breida available?
Come on. Yeah, Matt Breida's out there. I think they're both out, available. Maybe Tevin Coleman, maybe?
That's the double
bring the
return.
Whole gang back.
Yeah, the double return. That's the return from Washington and the return from the 49ers. That would be amusing. And also, Deebo could carry it once or twice a game. Like he's just not going to be the wide back where you go, okay, five straight times we're giving it to Deebo. Those days are over. It's tough on anybody to go to try to do that and then also go be a receiver. And also when we really need a big kickoff return, why don't you go back there and do that, Deebo? All those things, which he was incredible at in 2021. But it did, I think, is predictable that it was going to wear him down and maybe accelerate, you know, his past his prime a little faster than you would thought. Maybe he'll come back and kick ass. That's probably him. I'll hear about it if he does, because I'm the one who reported that he was 20 pounds overweight his final 49er season. He didn't like that very much, but that's okay. He's fine. You know, this is all part of who you are. You come back and you're great. Then you showed that you were not in the bad shape maybe when he was here before. We shall see. But yet more 49er news, yet more injuries. The pads go on tomorrow. I will be there for that. We'll see how that all goes. It's just interesting. Like, I would love to hear Kyle talk about Deebo Samuel, and we're not going to have that. You know, this is part of this weird camp. Chris Foerster, I'm sure, can say whatever, but, you know, why that decision? What's Ricky Pearsall's future? You really do miss just having the authoritative voice address these things, and we're not going to have that for a while. Jordan James, just, you know, what does this all mean? We're not going to hear about it from Kyle Shanahan for a while. Understandable, but it's the reality of the beginning of this camp. It's going to be interesting if Deebo does a presser. I imagine he's going to have to do something, right? The locker room's not open in camp. And is he going to answer anything about Brandon Ayuk, you know, his buddy? That certainly you associate those two together. I mean, the question will be asked. I don't know. Like, this is going to be an interesting situation for all that. And without Kyle around, I also thought, like, we all were thinking Deebo Samuel when you hear about Ricky Pearsall, if it is as serious as it made it seem yesterday, and it turns out to be. But also, like, you know, Kyle's like the guy with Deebo. Is Kyle, you know, he's got to coach Deebo. We know that. Like, that's a relationship. If Kyle's not around all the time, it's a little different, although I'm sure Deebo and Foerster have a relationship, Deebo and whoever, but
yeah,
Deebo just and, interesting to think of Deebo
George Kittle
with, yeah, exactly, and Trent and whatever. I mean, Deebo obviously really respects Trent, they're good friends.
Yeah, that's a pairing. Those yeah. Two are a duo.
Yeah, but Deebo and Trent, it's a Kyle Shanahan thing. It's like to have Deebo and not Kyle Shanahan around just feels weird, but I imagine Kyle will is around. He's been around for these practices. He's talked to you guys, as we've said, in a world record number of views on the YouTube, by the way. I'd like to have to congratulate Matt Barrows for drawing all these people to our emergency episode a few days ago. I don't think we're gonna get that many on this one, but maybe we'll go for it, Barrows. Let's knock it out.
Deebo's a big deal. Here's my question to you, Tim. What number is Deebo?
I was thinking about that too, because he's not going to be one, I don't think. It would be something to think. Ricky Pearsall, you're no longer number one. Who's 19? Cowing?
Cowing's 19. Yeah. So I'm thinking that maybe, you know, I don't think Deebo is short on cash. Maybe he says, Cowing, you take number 83, and I'll take, number 19.
Yeah, I don't see Debo in an 80s jersey.
Well, Tim, if he gets number 19 back, our return to 19 theme is going to be full on.
Did you just think of that? Did you just come
just
up with that?
Just thought of it. Yeah, it's return to 19.
It would be something to go. Ricky, you're undergoing surgery, and your number one now is being worn by Debo Samuel. That would be something. I did think about that. That's silly on me. That's what I was thinking about with LeBron James coming to the Warriors. If he's 23, that's Draymond Green's 23. He could be six. Bill Russell, they've retired all the number sixes, but since LeBron did wear it once, he's allowed to wear it, so he could have worn six for the Warriors. So there you go. Our numerological corner there to close this show. All right, Barros, anything else?
That's it. Only that I think that Jalen Hurd was part of the 2019 class as well, and I think that he's still out there, still available.
That is right there for you, 49ers. How can you let him go? How can you let this not happen? All right, folks, there's the news for today. We will come back to you with a fairly regularly scheduled episode after the first pad of practice tomorrow. And then maybe we won't do one then for a third straight day, Barros. It's a lot. I know the union gets really hard on me when I work you three straight days. So I might have to ease up. Maybe we'll just do a jog through episode.
We get some sweatshop laws in California, don't we?
It's tough. I just paid out Barros, so he can't be complaining anything. He got his check, so all good with that. All right, everybody, that is the emergency episode for today. Regular episode tomorrow coming up. See ya.